Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hey there, welcome to the Linda McKenzie Show, and this week let's remember to allow yourself the vision of joy and feed into it daily. Our guest today is Linda Starwolf, and she's author of The Aquarian Shaman. I'll be giving you lots of fun and useful information, as well as answering your natural health, mind, and spirit questions later on in the show. But right now we'll get to our guest, and today we have with us Linda Starwolf, author of The Aquarian Shaman. Now, Linda has been a visionary shamanic guide for over 35 years. She's a multi-book author. She's the founder of Venus Rising Association for Transformation and president of Shamanic Psycho-Spiritual Studies and creator of the Wise Wolf Council. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's great to be with you today on this auspicious day. Time for the Aquarian Shamans to wake up.
Isn't that the truth? And we need that, you know, especially now because we are back in an Aquarian age, just like it was in the 60s. And we did such wonderful movement until they came in and tried to stop it down. But, you know, now is a good time because we haven't lost a lot of that. And so now it's the time to progress even better and further, right?
Really true. If you notice on the front of my book, The Aquarian Shaman, it says walking the spiral path of transformation. And, you know, having grown up in the, you know, I was born in 1952, but having grown up primarily in the 50s, 60s, and coming of age in the 70s, late 60s and 70s, you know, so much of what we're facing right now all around the world, but especially here right now focused on the United States, you know, it's like, you know, what's new becomes old and what's old becomes new on this spiral path. Because that's the way everything travels, it seems, through time and space and here on this earth with the seasons, you know, of nature, but also the seasons of humans in the rise and fall. You know, we know that just, you know, since from ancient history that, you know, great empires have risen and fallen. I just got back from Egypt and there's these monuments and things and, you know, and even there you can see the layers of civilizations that rose and fall. It's not just one. So here we are. In time, in space, I think having the opportunity to acknowledge this next evolution of where we are, what it's going to look like.
I think you're so right on that, because what happens too is, you know, one of the things when we're going in this spiral, right, it's not that we never really do the same thing twice. You know, we are always learning, so nothing is exactly the same way twice. So if we can take what we've learned and build on that, and so that at least on this spiral, we can have a little bit better, happier life for the greater good of all rather than the greater good for the few. And so tell me, what is an Aquarian Shaman?
Well, you know, I think that each one of us are seeking, whether we call it that or not, doesn't have to be called that, but we're seeking, I believe, that humanity is truly seeking to awaken. And it's not that we haven't been awake at a certain level, but I think we're asking to awaken more. That's what consciousness is, to become more and more aware of the greater reality, not just the one right in front of our nose, you know, chop wood, carry water, which is extremely important in our daily lives, but what is the bigger picture, you know, not only of my life, but of, you know, I have children, I have grandchildren, I have lots of students that call me Mama or Grandma Wolf, Star Wolf. And so what's the bigger picture? And, you know, especially for me as I get older, you know, I'm thinking more about not only the present, but I'm thinking about the legacy of my life and my actions. What am I leaving behind? Am I seeding, S-E-E-D-I-N-G, am I seeding a different consciousness that may not bloom till way after I've passed, but maybe it will at some point, even if I don't live to see it. And that's an important thing. I'm married now, but I was married before, and my husband passed 10 years ago. He had cancer, and the week before he died, he wanted to plant trees, fruit trees. And, you know, we were aware, he was aware that, you know, we held the hope of a miracle, but we went outside. I'm like, are you sure you feel that you want to do this? You know, you see, we say, and he said, if I don't do this, when am I going to do this? So in our backyard, he planted these fruit trees that are now 10 years later ready to bear fruit. And yet, he personally, and as a human, didn't get to see those bloom, you know, and bear fruit. But he had that kind of consciousness is that, you know, it's not just not about me, not just about poor me with my cancer, you know. I want these trees to be here for my grandchildren.
Right.
That's a really important vision, I believe, as Aquarian shamans, that it's not just about myself. It's about the future generations, which is a very traditional, if you will, from the teachers I've learned from, consciousness to have, is to not only think about oneself, but the future generations, at least 7 generations ahead of us.
Well, I agree with that 100%. And also, I think that we leave footprints, you know, and that, you know, we leave footprints. And even when we don't produce even a fruit tree, even the thought, and when we're consciously creating positive thought, it's changing consciousness. And so it's very important to... not only for that, because eventually, you know, we're coming back, so we...
when we're back the next time.
That's exactly right. And I like avocado, peaches.
Me too. I had one this morning.
So, but I think it's really interesting because, you know, I was born in 1949 and I went through the same things that you did. And I was talking to a couple of other people and all around your age, my age, right in that area. And we're being called to come back again. Even though we were always just kind of, you know, we were always doing our work, but now it's
right.
Coming into a greater focus. And the thing is, it's the grandmothers now that really, and we're wise enough to actually be able to change this planet. And we were just talking yesterday that, you know, the younger kids are hungry for the stuff that we know. And they, you know, for somehow, some way, they've forgotten things. They've learned things from us, but they've forgotten things. Like years ago, living in the moment, nobody knew that. Nobody knew to meditate. Nobody even thought about yoga. They were saying, yoga is a real nasty thing, changes your mind. You know, so, you know, so we have made some headway, but from the life experiences and the things that we know, which are grounded in truth, not in AI, so
right.
Now people are gravitating towards us again. So I think that the grandmothers now are going to come back up and are going to be very powerful in helping to change this whole world.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. And, you know, the people that made the biggest difference is in my life have been the grandmothers from the beginning. When I was a child, my grandmother and my grandfather too, he was much quieter. And but my grandmother and grandfather had, you know, we really sustained our life from the garden that they grew, the large garden that my grandfather plowed and had a mule and, you know, grew the corn to feed the mule and all that kind of things. And so a good portion of how we ate was from my grandmother's little orchard and from the chickens and the eggs and from my grandfather who planted and who taught me and let me walk and push the plow with him with the, I thought I was plowing with the mule and he was right behind me, those kinds of things. And those, I really, that took root deeply in me. My young parents, my father returned from the Korean War. My mom worked, and she was a woman, a very independent woman, and she went out to work in the workforce as well. So I really am grateful that that happened because I was with elders, grandparents, and whose families were from the old country. And so I grew up walking behind the pushplow of my grandfather, my grandmother throwing seed into the trenches behind us, and she would be praying to Jesus and the fairies and the aliens.
Going to cover it all.
You know, and that seemed normal to me. Now, when I would mention it to my mother, that was her mother, my mother would say, well, you can't believe everything that Mammy Jones says. And I'm like, well, I totally believe everything that Mammy Jones says. And so, you know, that magic was instilled within me. And then, you know, rushing headlong into the 60s and junior high and then high school was such an amazing, turbulent time, very similar to now in that way. But there was a huge rising consciousness, and it seemed like the young people, you know, I'm seeing from around like 13, 14 up into their 20s, were the ones, first of all, who were going off to fight in wars, unjust wars, to say it like they are now, killing and being killed. And, you know, I was at the University of Kentucky going to school to be a social worker, of course, you know, and human services, and living in a commune, and marching against the Vietnam War. And when Kent State happened, and some people were killed there, young students. And so there's, you know, the things that were happening at the, you know, the political convention, you know, as presidents were getting ready to shift and that sort of thing. So it very much is a deja vu, but at another level. And I'm praying deeply every day that the wisdom that I gained from my grandparents and then the elders, and I've had the opportunity to seek out quite a few elders, grandmothers and grandfathers over the last, you know, 50 years of my life, and, you know, continue to learn from them. And, you know, it can't just be any elders. I mean, there's elders out there who are just as messed up as anybody else. But the elders who have kept the wisdom and who have kept the knowledge and who've been willing to pass it on to their children and their grandchildren, and as the Moody Blues used to say, the children's children's children, they're the ones who are the repositories, I believe, of the true wisdom that we need right now.
Well, I think that's true. And, you know, it's really interesting because even though I grew up in New York City without a plow, what we did was, it was very hard. My grandfather was from Italy, you know, and my mom was from Boston, so she came, one of our relatives was the scullery maid on the Mayflower or something. They wiped the decks or something. We weren't famous or anything, but anyway, so my grandfather, we didn't have a lot of money, you know, and so we bought a house born in the Bronx, and we bought a house in Staten Island, and the basement my grandmother and grandfather lived, my aunt and uncle lived on the first floor, and we lived on the second floor. And so and it was interesting because my grandfather also had a garden in the back, and it was only a tiny little thing, but we had grapes, and we had ensalada, and we had a fig tree, and we had a peach tree, and we had all sorts of tomatoes and salads and mints and herbs. And, you know, I would go out there and help him, you know, too. So it doesn't mean geographically. I think it was a time for us to there's always in wisdom is a connection to earth. And so even if it's going out and standing under a tree in New York City or going to Central Park, it's very important to do that and remember that we're part of the whole, not just that. And I think that that brings me to my next question is, can you tell me about how shamans relate to and get lessons from nature?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know that I can speak for every shaman in the world, but my experience in working with indigenous elders and shamans, as well as what I would call modern-day shamans, of people who are waking up and returning to nature and spending time, you know, there's a lot of what people are calling, you know, grounding or barefooting or foresting and those kinds of things. It's kind of naturally that way. I think that children from the beginning, if they have any time in nature, are just naturally shamanic. They're, you know, they put mud in their mouth, you know, they make mud pies, they, you know, catch grasshoppers, you know, put children and nature together, and it's truly magical, you know. So there's this, for me, what I understand from the elders that I've learned from is that, in fact, I talk about it, I think it's the first chapter, it's either the introduction or the first chapter of my book in Aquarian Shaman, where I talk about one of the first things that happened for me as a woman in my, I think it was in my mid-30s or so, is that I, you know, went to one Native woman's house, and the first thing she did was told me to go out and find a tree. And I'm like, well, there's lots of trees out there. There's a whole woods. And she said, yes, but there's one that's calling. And I'm like, well, and she's like, just go. And don't come back until you find the tree that's calling you and until you make an offering. And I said, what could that be? And she said, well, you can leave a gift. You can leave a piece of your hair. You could even leave some saliva. You know, she said, do what you need to do, but leave a part of yourself there. Don't ever take without giving, which is something that's been drilled into me my whole life. But that was, once again, saying, you know, not just from a person, but from a tree, from the earth. Go and seek the wisdom from that tree. Get with it. Connect with it in whatever way that, you know, you feel called to. You can ask a question or you can just listen. You'll know. And I'm like, there's so much out there. How am I going to find the tree? You're saying there's one specifically that's calling me. And she said, well, they would all talk to you, but there's one that's calling you. And so I spent the better part of that day just walking in, you know, for a long distance back out into the woods on the reservation, up in the Cataractus Reservation, and back finally till I reached where the there was a huge creek back there that actually ends up running into the river back there. And close to the bank there was a tree, and I knew that was the tree. It was a huge tree. It looked really old. The branches really almost came down to the earth. And I just went, you know, kind of bent down and kind of climbed under the limbs of the tree, and I went back, and, you know, my heart just pounding. There was this anticipation that I was in the presence of, you know, I felt like Moses.
Right.
You know, I felt like I'm in the presence of the divine here. You know, for him it was this mountain, you know, but for me it was this river and this tree, and I just sat. And I went, I was just sitting kind of breathing and not doing anything particular, just emptying my mind out to meditate a little bit. And the next thing I knew, I really felt myself that I'd been drawn into a deep altered state where I wasn't really seeing anything there. It was more like I was seeing energy, I was feeling energy, and there wasn't any words. It was just energy moving through me. And so I just let go of my agenda of what I thought it needed to say or be or do. And I fell asleep. And I never do anything. I'm a kind of like I'm awake and or I'm asleep. And there's not an in-between. But I went into some sort of altered state or sleep state. And in that place, there was this divine presence. And I realized that it was truly what I would say the spirit and the soul of that tree. And I felt that it just was telling me, you know, that it, energetically, that it was there specifically to download energy into me. There wasn't anything super specific like, you know, go ye there forward, blah, blah, blah. It was more like it was giving me its blessing and its energy and saying that any time I needed help, that this tree would remember me and that I could call upon it as a spirit helper,
wow,
a spirit guide, and remember this moment of deep peace and letting go and knowing that regardless of the external things in the world, that everything was okay. And that was monumental, because at that moment in my life, I was getting ready to go through a divorce, I was getting ready to move to California, I wasn't sure if I was doing the right things, but I didn't ask any of those questions, I just let go. And so, after a little while, I realized I must have been there, you know, 2 or 3 hours, it felt like 15 minutes, I came out of it, and I started walking back, I thanked the tree, I left some of my hair, and I walked back, and I came back and I, you know, shared with Grandmother Twyla Nitz, my Seneca Wolf Clan grandmama, and I told her, and she said, ah, you found her. And she wouldn't tell me anything else. And she said, don't talk it away. And she said, what is the main lesson? And I said, surrender and to follow the energy and to trust it and to remember to do that in life. And she said, you've received the medicine that tree has given you. And, you know, that was a very deeply, I could say, digested energy within me, because it helped me remember all the times as a child when I would be upset with maybe my mother or something. I'd go outside and climb a tree, or I played under the willow trees with my chickens. Trees have always meant a lot to me, but they mean even more to me today as I'm talking to you at this moment out here on the top of the mountain where I live in western North Carolina outside of Asheville. I'm looking at literally, for real, millions of trees surround me everywhere direction I look, and all different colors that are out there, and then a lot of them are turning brown right now, but there are many brilliant colors. I am surrounded by the wisdom of the trees. So they're in the book too, and I talk about I've never seen a tree who lost all their leaves in the winter go to therapy because of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more a little bit with Linda Starr-Wolf about her book, The Aquarian Shaman. So stay with us. Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts, so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a Self-Discovery Reference Guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Linda is trying to change the world to a more positive place. If you want to learn more about Linda McKenzie and the wonderful work she is doing, visit LindaMcKenzie.net. At LindaMcKenzie.net, you'll find a lot of information on balancing your mind, body, and spirit. There are free psychic predictions. Plus, you can find out Linda's appearance schedule and see what radio and TV shows she will be on. Learn what classes she's teaching or how to get a psychic reading, book a hypnotherapy session, and even get access to her products all through her website. LindaMcKenzie.net. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net. That's Linda, MacKenzie.net.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's Hip Psychic Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free, scrumptious desserts, all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next Hip Psychic Soiree table, visit LindaMcKenzie.net and click on Events for more details.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show. Today we have with us Linda Starr-Wolf, and she's author of The Aquarian Shaman, which you can get on Barnes & Noble or on Amazon.com or any bookstore, and you should get it. It's really great, and I think we really need this so that we can really get back and be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. I was listening to your story, and there's so many similar things. I mean, we could sit for months and just compare notes. But one of the things, when my grandson, who did get, everybody is psychic, but he's a little bit more than most, and when he was like 2-3 years old, I would take him to the park, and I'd say, hey, do you hear what that tree is saying to you? And he'd say, what? And I said, here, put your hand on the tree, and the tree is telling you a story. And he said, and he puts his hand on the tree, and he goes, what's the story, Grandma? So I sat down, and I was telling him about what the tree was telling me, you know, and we had our hands on the tree, and all the little kids in the playground came over, and they all sat and listened to the story, and then they all ran, what's this tree saying? What's this tree saying? And I said, well, you've got to put your hand on, and you'll hear it too. You know, so it's,
I love it.
It's wonderful to do things like that. And there was a funny thing. I was dating a shaman. I had a very strange thing. I was psychic at the age of 8, and then I was busting psychics in New York at 21 because I didn't like that they were taking money and they weren't doing the right thing. And then by the time I was 15, I had read every metaphysical book in the New York Public Library. And then at 21, God said, stop. I don't want you doing anything. I said, what? And he said, yeah, just go off and do something else. And he said, I don't want you to do anything. So he said, just stop. He goes, don't watch horror movies. Don't read books. Don't do anything. I said, okay. So then I was about the harmonic convergence, 1987. And he said, okay, come on. And but in that time, I went and became an engineer, for the first datacom engineer in any airline in the world, designing data systems, and I was redesigning the U.S. Senate, and I was doing a metaphysical company, and the president of a vitamin company. I mean, all sorts of stuff, right? And then he said, okay, come on out. And I met a shaman, a guy that was a shaman, and we were dating for a little bit, and he took me to this, and it was very interesting. I said, I thought you told me to stop this. And he said, yeah, but you need to come out now. And he said, I said, oh, okay. I said, but kicking and screaming, you know, because here I am, this big engineer, you know, with security clearances, and they're saying, you know, I said, okay, fine, we'll just kind of do it. And I ended up leaving that field and going into more left brain things, and, you know, radio, and writing books, and doing seminars, and helping people heal through their mind and things like that. And then, but I would remember, because when he said to come out, every week there was something crazy, right? So I would go be playing golf with somebody, and this woman that we never played golf with before, she said, I really like you, come to my house. And then she was doing an Agnihotra ceremony, and she was teaching me all about Babaji and all this stuff. I'm going, what in the heck is this? You know. And then the next week I went to this place, and that the shaman took me, and I could always see ghosts, and there was this big Indian walking around, and then another Indian, I said, hi, you know, when I walk in, how you doing, you know, a little nervous, but hey, how you doing? And so he had told me that this was a place where many shamans had, it was a place where many shamans had been buried, and that even some of the kahunas from Hawaii had been buried, and the house was very interesting, where the water ran backwards in the house. The energy was incredible in the house. And I sat down to talk with people on the couch, and all of a sudden I just feel this energy coming through my feet. And so I took a moment, because I was experiencing this energy, and the energy was giving me all this herbal information, herbs I could hear, you know, I could just feel it going into my mind and my body and my soul, all these herbs, use this, and then all this, and I didn't even know what it was. And then I opened my eyes, which I thought was a minute, and there was nobody there, and I was in the middle of a sentence when I stopped, you know. And so I said, what the heck? And the people came in, and they said, oh, yeah, well, you know, we're going to go ahead and you went out. You've been out for an hour. And I said, you've got to be kidding. I said, I'm just finishing my sentence. And then they asked me to be standpoint at a cutting away ceremony. And I did. And when I did, I didn't realize how much of the energy was coming in, you know. And so we were up in this house, this other house, and the wind was blowing through the things, and it was trying to, and of course they gave me the north, which was the highest, you know, energetic point, you know. And these things were coming in, and I'm going, what the heck? And then I look to my right, and I see this huge, like 10-foot Indian. I say, hey, how are you? And he goes, fine. I looked to my left, and Jesus is there. I went, you got my other point? He goes, yep. I said, okay, I'm good. I'll just hold everything back. So I did a lot of this. When you allow yourself to let go, your teachers come to you. And you learn what you're supposed to learn. And the thing is that what I tell everybody, you know, take what you need. And if you don't agree with something, nothing's 100% in stone. Listen to your own intuition. Nobody can really teach you this stuff. You have to come, your journey is your own personal journey. So take what you need from the people and then move on. And if you need to know something later on, it will come back to you. But your book kind of short circuits a lot of this stuff so that people have ways to do this transformation and in a natural, wonderful way from the ancients. And this is which is ancient truth, which is your whole book.
Well, really the premise of this book is that we're all born shamanic.
Right.
That we're all born as elemental beings, that we came from spirit. We've clothed ourselves in human garb, if you will, and the clothing of a skin, and that we came here from many different places, perhaps, throughout the cosmos, throughout interdimensionality. But we came here, and we're not here by accident, no matter what Vince might say or anything else. You're not here by accident. If we're not here by accident, then we must be here on purpose. And until we realize that just like the trees or the creatures in nature or anything else in nature in God's world, Goddess's world, that we're not an accident, that we have a purpose, and that the single most important thing to our greater self, if you will, maybe not to our egos at times, but to our greater self and to our, I would say our destiny, is to remember who it is we really are and to remember what the original soul's urge was to incarnate at this time. And I don't believe that human beings can find true peace of mind or happiness or fulfillment until they take that journey. And I think there's many who did not take that journey. They took the journey of becoming, you know, into a human body, but because of certain circumstances, situations, and things or whatever, perhaps they just never fully give themselves over and surrender the egoic part, you know, because that's a strong part of us. It's not meant to be destroyed. It's just meant to be put in its proper place. It's not, we used to say when I was kids, you're not the boss of me. That's what I say to my ego. You're not the boss of me. You know, you get your voice, you have your opinion, but there's other parts of me. Because the ego is not bad, but it's there to protect. The super ego is there to protect and make sure that I'm, you know, not going to get myself fired from my job until I'm ready to quit, you know, or whatever. Or that, I remember to lock my doors in a bad side of town or whatever it is that needs to happen. But it was never meant to control our lives because these lives are not just about being human. They're about human beings who are here, right? But they're spiritual beings first. So we're spiritual beings here having a human experience. And the human experience is, you know, the things that happen to human beings. We get born, we live, we go through all kinds of, you know, we say stuff, but I call it initiation, soul initiation. And then at some point we lay our bodies down and we leave. So it's definitely a shamanic thing to be human or to be on this planet. You know, when I talked to Grandmother Twyla years ago, you know, I would say, so do people really want to come here or is it an accident? Yeah, and she said, people that definitely want to come here because this is a place of equal, like light and dark, night and day. It's like the perfect planet to walk between the worlds and the shadows and the light and to learn about the darkness and the light.
1 minute.
Those things. And so, you know, to me, to be, quote, an everyday kind of shaman is to really to know yourself, know what your sacred purpose is, and to walk between the light and the dark and to find the balance.
That's great. We're going to take a break, and can you stay with us one more segment?
Sure.
Great. So then we're going to be right back with Linda Starwolf and her book, The Aquarian Shaman. Stay with us. Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a self-discovery reference guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's Hip Side Chick Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free, scrumptious desserts, all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next Hip Side Chick Soiree table, visit LindaMcKenzie.net and click on Events for more details.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
You can't imagine the whole crazy world, but right now, you can get some great help to manage your own. If you're searching out a new perspective on what matters to you most, with solid information, strong opinion, and lifelong practice, enhanced insight, Linda McKenzie is the professional God-based psychic you want in your team. Join the list of thousands who have already benefited from Linda's psychic counsel over the years for both short and long-term guidance in personal and professional concerns. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net for more information. And call 800-555-5453 to schedule. And tune in to the Linda McKenzie Show each week on HealthyLife.net.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show, and we have with us Linda Starwolf today, and she's author of The Aquarian Shaman. I was just thinking about the break, and I was thinking, you know, you are in that path. You were, you know, that hurricane was around you, and I was thinking, you know, I went back in time to see what happened, you know, at your land and stuff, and I saw that there was such an energetic protection that, you know, only what was supposed to happen happened, and it wasn't huge for you. Is that true?
That's very true. We, like I said, we have millions, for real, trees are all around us on the mountain here, on top of the mountain. We have the Tuckasegee River at the bottom of the mountain that flows past us and into Cherokee. We're just 10 minutes from Cherokee. We're about 10 minutes from a little town called Dillsboro and Silva. And Silva was, Dillsboro, part of it was flooded, and different things happened there. We're an hour west of Asheville, but we had the winds. I mean, we stood out on the deck, and I thought, well, okay, we are surrounded with trees that are right by our house, huge trees that lean over our house, and not a one, you know, does, if I was saying Kentucky, knock on wood, fell on us or on our property. But at the back of our property, we lost about 3 or 4 big trees, but one I know that was at least 80 foot tall.
Wow.
And it fell onto one of our well houses here and smashed it like a bomb into shards. But that's the only thing that happened as far as our whole land here, which is a miracle. And we were able to replace that and get everything fixed with that within a week, pretty much.
That's great. I think that's why, you know, it's very important for people to understand when you are one with nature, when you are one with energy, when you are doing the right things, and everything is in balance, everything supports each other. And I could see the trees, because the trees consider you part of their family. I mean, they just do. And I could see how the trees rooted in and said, no, you know, we, and they're old spirits. They're older than, and they talk to one another underneath the earth. And
yes.
And it's just, you know, so I just saw that, and I just wanted to clarify, because I did see that, and so I just wanted to illustrate why it's important for people to get your book so that they can understand how they can get this balance. And again, not only protect the earth itself, but protect themselves as well.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you're speaking into that, because at different times we had to talk to various people that live around us and different things and stuff about different things and about our values, because people have different values, you know, so you want to respect everybody's sacred point of view. But people wanting to cut a tree because of a cosmetic thing and that sort of thing, and we have stood up against that, you know, stand for it. I said we're still standing against. We stood for the trees. And, you know, the trees, as you know, the root systems go out, and they're all connected. It's not just one tree. They're all a family.
Right.
And the trees that do come down, then we take those trees, we let them cure, and then we cut them into firewood. And we use, we have central heat and air, but we don't use it. We have a wonderful fireplace that keeps our home warm, so we don't need to use it,
right.
Use the central heat and air. And it's so cool because the trees here in the summertime, even when it's really warm, and we have a creek to jump into, and we've acclimated ourselves back to nature over the past 5 years, living within the elements, and it feels so good to do that. And, you know, and everybody else is blowing their leaves, and we're allowing our leaves to stay because they're protecting everything until summertime, and then we'll use those for mulch in the summer. So, you know, earthing and coming back to nature, it's not, you know, I'm not criticizing other people. I'm just saying that when you begin to kind of, it's kind of like an awakening, like, of course, you know, this is, you know, nature is much older than us, and it will inform us. If they're our grandmothers, our grandfathers, they love us, and they want human beings to grow up, you know.
And stop the nonsense.
We're kind of like teenagers. They're trying to help us grow up.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, we're doing so many things to harm the earth, and which is harming ourselves. And now they're finally ripping the Band-Aids off and finding out, oh, the plastics aren't good. Well, we knew that from a long time ago. And they, you know, and why are they putting chemicals in the soil and the air and changing food? And there's no reason to do any of this.
No.
And they're trying to do nature. You know, this climate change is very interesting because, you know, again, I was in datacom and I did satellite engineering and all sorts of stuff. But it's okay if you're doing it a little bit, but if you're thinking about how many satellites are up there, from every country has satellites, and there's already a garbage around us. But if you have all those satellites and the sun is trying to come down, it's got to be glinting off of that metal somewhere and creating problems, and then they're putting the chemtrails in. So we have to understand that we need to make sure that everything is, you know, we stay as close to nature as we can and let nature do its job, because nature takes care of itself, and it's got such innate wisdom. And here you are, you know, on Earth for X amount of time as a human with a thinking brain, and you think science knows everything when it doesn't, you know. So,
no, it doesn't.
So, but anyway, I want to say,
not against science.
No.
Also know that there's higher forces in science.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing. You know, there was one point about 15 years ago where spirituality and science were merging together again. And then all of a sudden Big Pharma came in, and unfortunately Obama decided to do all the science and STEM and math people, and the big pharmaceutical companies came in and just took over. You know, and now took the spirituality out. Anyway, tell us where people can get your book, Linda.
Well, they can get it just about any place. You know, at this point, it's gone international, so I took it to Germany and to Australia, and you could even get it on Amazon in those countries now, and the UK, and one of my students was just in Glastonbury and found it in the bookstores there, so...
Right.
It's in bookstores around the country, but certainly you can buy it from, you know, Barnes & Noble. You can buy it from, you know, online, from Amazon, various places. And should be able to find it just about everywhere right now.
And what's your website so that people can find out more about you?
It's pretty easy to remember. What I'm most known for, because I created it over 40 years ago, it was my brand, if you will, and it's shamanic breathwork. And we train people to do breathwork, and we ordain shamanic ministers, and we have our own university, and our next two-week training is in Costa Rica in December.
Great.
If people are interested.
Great.
So the website is shamanicbreathwork.org.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Linda. You'll have to come back. I absolutely adore you.
Oh, well, I love you. We've got good names, you know. Linda means beautiful.
So. That's right. That's right. Well, thanks so much. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Stop, and don't use those costly weight loss drugs that don't work and cause nasty side effects anyway. Choose a total, natural approach to weight loss using your mind to change your body. That's the Total Mind Body Spirit Weight Loss Book, a unique program that helps you lose the weight and keep it off, using the power of your mind to transform your body. Available as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook. Buy it now and lose the weight without diets or drugs. It's everything you need, so whether it's 5 pounds or 100, get the Total Mind Body Spirit Weight Loss Book today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine books are sold.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
You can't imagine the whole crazy world, but right now, you can get some great help to manage your own. If you're searching out a new perspective on what matters to you most, with solid information, strong opinion, and lifelong practice, enhanced insight, Linda McKenzie is the professional God-based psychic you want in your team. Join the list of thousands who have already benefited from Linda's psychic counsel over the years for both short and long-term guidance in personal and professional concerns. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net for more information and call 800-555-5453 to schedule. And tune in to the Linda McKenzie Show each week on HealthyLife.net.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Linda is trying to change the world to a more positive place. If you want to learn more about Linda McKenzie and the wonderful work she is doing, visit LindaMcKenzie.net. At LindaMcKenzie.net, you'll find a lot of information on balancing your mind, body, and spirit. There are free psychic predictions. Plus, you can find out Linda's appearance schedule and see what radio and TV shows she will be on. Learn what classes she's teaching or how to get a psychic reading, book a hypnotherapy session, and even get access to her products all through her website. LindaMcKenzie.net. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net. That's Linda, MacKenzie.net.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show. Just I want to do a little shout out here. I am working with InfinityFoundation.org, and that's InfinityFoundation.org, and I'm doing once a month psychic readings for soul connection. So I'm helping you connect with your soul with the reading and giving you different kinds of words and things to work on for the months. And so, you know, check out InfinityFoundation.org, and for the next couple of months I'll be doing these things on Sundays. I think one's coming up November 10th on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And it's going to be different days every month. So check it out, InfinityFoundation.org. org. Okay, and so it's time to do some readings for you. We have time for one or two readings, so if you want to call in, now's the time, 800-555-5453 or 310-371-5444. We want to do our Herb of the Week. Herbs are natural medicine that need to be treated with knowledge and respect. And today's herb is valerian. Now, it's nature's tranquilizer. Valerian calms the whole nerves without any side effects, like drugs, okay? It has a very distinct, rather unpleasant smell. And in recent years, it's been well-researched with chemicals called valproate, developing in valerian extracts. And these seem to depress the nervous system, and the fresh plant is much more sedating. Now, it's good for nervous tension. You can drink valerian tea, take valerian supplements, especially for anxiety and insomnia. And the root also strengthens the heart and can sometimes reduce high blood pressure. It encourages healing in wounds and ulcers and is very effective for muscle cramps. It can also be used as an expectorant and can help tickling nervous coughs, and that's valerian. And you can get it as the fresh root, you can get it as a tincture, or the dried root. There are some cautions with valerian. Don't take it for more than 2 to 3 weeks without a break, because continued use contain lead that can lead to headaches and palpitations, so don't overtake it. And valerian enhances the action of sleep-inducing drugs, so avoid taking this type of medication if you're taking valerian. So don't take any of those sleep drugs when you're doing it. And do not confuse the garden plant with, it's called red American valerian. That has no medicinal properties at all. So make sure that you're going, getting reputable valerian. Okay? There you have it. For a little bit of depression and for nervous tension and anxiety, valerian helps. Today we're going to talk about our herb, our gemstone of the week. And gemstones have energies, and by carrying or wearing a stone, you may be able to amplify your own energy. So today we're going to talk about citrine. I like citrine. Citrine is a variety of quartz, and the color ranges from yellow to golden brown to burnt amber. And it's one of the two minerals on the planet that doesn't hold and accumulate negative energy. It just dissipates it and transmutes it. And it's really never needs cleaning or clearing, which is really great. It's been reported that citrine is one of the stones that they call the merchant stone. And by placing a cluster or a crystal of citrine in your cash box, it's produced more income for the merchant. It not only assists the merchant in acquiring wealth, but helps them to maintain the state of wealth. These days, everybody needs that, so everybody got to go out and get a little piece of citrine, right? The mineral is used to balance yin-yang energy, and it aligns the chakras. It activates and opens and energizes the navel, solar plexus chakras, and helps to give you personal power, creativity, and make your intelligence decisions, okay? It's also an energy necessary to enhance the physical body. So it stimulates most mental focus and endurance. It also emits an elevated energy that helps with emotional balance, and it helps you stimulate your intuitive self and promotes contact with higher forces of intelligence. It also illuminates the energy of the root chakra, delivering both comfort and optimism, and it can help you dispense with the fundamental levels of fear. So if you're fearful about something, citrine helps that, especially if you put it on your root chakra. Okay, it further promotes a radiance from within the self, and it gives you a constant happy disposition. It brightens even the darkest corners of your reality and helps you to laugh without restraint. And we all need to do that, especially in these times. We need to laugh without restraint, because laughter is a higher frequency and it shifts things. Okay, it's quite effective in conveying when necessary information relative to the aspects of survival. So if you're in a problem area, it'll tell you how to survive. It also helps do a positive banner in the area of education and business pursuits and interpersonal relationships. It's an excellent stone for smoothing family or group problems and subsequently produces cohesiveness within the members of the group. It also acts similarly to the cutting edge of a sword, penetrating problems and expediting solutions. In healing, it can aid digestion, digestive disorders, and can promote circulation of the blood, and it's used in the treatment of degenerative disorders and for the diminishment of growths. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Stop, and don't use those costly weight loss drugs that don't work and cause nasty side effects anyway. Choose a total, natural approach to weight loss using your mind to change your body. That's the Total Mind Body Spirit Weight Loss Book, a unique program that helps you lose the weight and keep it off, using the power of your mind to transform your body. Available as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook. Buy it now and lose the weight without diets or drugs. It's everything you need, so whether it's 5 pounds or 100, get the Total Mind Body Spirit Weight Loss Book today at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and wherever fine books are sold.
Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a self-discovery reference guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's Hip Side Chick Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free scrumptious desserts all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next Hip Side Chick Soiree table, visit lindamckenzie.net and click on Events for more details.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show. At least you were. Party's over, at least for this week. You can tune in next week, and I'll be right here for you. And I want to say thank you for listening. If you'd like to drop me a line, you can send an email to linda@lindamckenzie.net. That's M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E, lindamckenzie.net. Visit my website to see where I'm going to be and what I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of events. And thank you so much for listening. I've enjoyed this hour with you. So until next time, this is Linda McKenzie, wishing you a week of adventure, freedom, and humor. Bye. Thank you.